If it's your first time here, you have walked into a transitional season in this church where we're doing a replant and God is doing some amazing things. So I'm thankful to have you with us. Thank you for coming. And we are just getting in on the beginning of what God is going to do. But let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. And as you find your place, it is December 1st. Amen? December 1st, the beginning of Advent, the arrival, the coming of Christ. December 1st. Can y'all believe that this year is almost over with? It's like it went by in a blink of an eye. 2024, we're in the home stretch. We've got 4 weeks left. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks focusing on the Advent, focusing on Christmas. And we're going to slow down. And when we come here, we're going to focus all about Jesus. Amen? Because we can get so consumed with everything surrounding Christmas that we forget about the meaning of Christmas if we're not careful. We can focus on the parties and the presents and the, you know, the places that we got to go, the things we got to buy and things we got to do. We can get so focused on all those things and we know the true meaning of Christmas, but we can be guilty of forgetting or not focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. So the next 4 weeks, we're going to be focusing on the Advent, the coming of Christ, and we're going to look at four words that embody what Jesus means for Christmas, what Jesus brings, the gifts that Jesus is for Christmas, four words that we're going to look at in the next week leading up to Christmas. So this morning, that word is hope. Hope. Jesus is the hope for mankind. Jesus is the hope for humanity. This Christmas story is not just a message of a child being born, but it's a message of hope. A message of true hope, of real hope. This baby that was born, the Son of God and God the Son, placed in a manger 2,000 years ago in a lowly stable, was not just any other child, but he was the hope for all humanity. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. We're going to start. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.'" Isn't that good news right there? The hope for humanity. That Jesus has come and he will save his people from their sins. And then I want you to look at verse number 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." What's amazing about this Christmas story is that it was prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And if we really stop and think about it, that's amazing. That Jesus was that promised hope that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about. And he says, as it was fulfilled, as this promise of hope was fulfilled, it was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 that says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us, right? And the amazing thing is that that's not the only prophecy. The Old Testament breathes a message of hope throughout the whole Old Testament. It's a message of the coming Messiah, the coming hope. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where God himself said that I will send someone the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, God himself made a prophecy that says, I will send one from the seed of a woman that will crush the serpent's head. All the way back to Genesis, we see a promise of hope. And then we go through Isaiah 53, talking about the suffering Savior. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We look through all these prophecies. Psalms 22, talking about how Jesus would die by crucifixion. Micah 5:2, speaking of the place where Jesus would be born. I mean, think about that. That's amazing. That Jesus, 500 to 700 years before he was born, the prophet said there's coming a Messiah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. That's the message of hope that we have for this world, the hope for humanity. The hope that Jesus is the one that came to save people, this world, from their sin. He is the answer to the curse and the consequences of sin. He is that hope. That's what we need to be wrapping our mind and our thoughts and meditating on and worshiping on throughout this Christmas season. But listen to me. He's not just the hope for humanity. Let's get real. Let's get down personal. Let's get down to where it matters. Because we can all say Jesus came for the world, but look, Jesus came for you. Amen. He's not just the hope for humanity. He's the hope for your heart. He's the hope for your brokenness. He's the hope for your worry, the hope for your stress. He's the hope. He's the one that gives hope to the hopeless and hope to the broken. The ones that are discouraged and devastated and depressed and just going through a season of defeat. Jesus is that hope. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, things may be hard, but listen to me. He is the hope for your heart. If you've come here looking for hope this morning, I got good news for you. Jesus is your hope. He is your hope. He's your true hope. He's your real hope. He is the hope for your heart. I want to give you a few thoughts this morning. If you take notes, number one, the certainty of hope. The certainty of hope. Now, since we're in the Christmas season officially, by the way, who put lights up before December? I did too. Don't. We've been anticipating this, right? We've been waiting for this. The certainty of hope. Since this is Christmas, we all have our favorite Christmas movies, right? I want y'all to shout it out to me. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Elf. That's a great one. It's a classic. We have to watch it every year. What's another one? What is? Charlie Brown. The Grinch. The Christmas Story. That's a great one. And that's the one I was thinking about myself because they used to play that thing 24 hours straight. Do they still do that? 24 hours, we're watching Ralphie try to get his Red Ryder BB gun, right? And the Christmas Story is a story of hope, right? Ralphie is hoping that he will get this Red Ryder BB gun. His Red Ryder carbon action, blah, 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 whatever, this BB gun. And he's going to his parents, and they say, you'll shoot your eye out. He goes to his teacher, they say, you'll shoot your eye out. And he's hoping and hoping. The whole story is that he hopes he gets this BB gun. And then at the end of the story, you know, I hate to spoil it, maybe, you know, hopefully you've seen it before, but he gets his BB gun, right? He goes to the tree, he can't find it, then his dad says, look over there, and he gets his BB gun, and his hopes are fulfilled in that Red Ryder BB gun. And then he shoots his eye out, right? He put all his hope in that. And maybe you're here and you hope that you will get a certain Christmas present. I got as many of you know, I play guitar, as you have seen today. I've been playing since I was 7 years old. And look, this is my very first guitar. Wore the strings off this thing. It's not in very good tune. But when I was, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I was hoping that I would get a new guitar. You know, I could get a cool, this is a kind of rinky-dink learner. I was hoping I would get a new one. And then when I woke up that day, I got this brand new Fender Squire Stratocaster that I just wore out for years and years and years. I was hoping I would get it. Just like Ralphie was hoping he would get his present. And like you may be hoping for something for Christmas, or you have your hopes focused on something specific. But look, we use the word hope differently than the way the Bible uses the word hope. When we use the word hope, it's centered around doubt and uncertainty, right? We hope we get the Christmas present. We hope we find that special someone. Maybe if you're a hunter here, you hope you kill that trophy buck. You hope that you hope that it snows this year. Maybe you're a sports fan and you hope the Saints go to the Super Bowl. Or the Tigers go to the national championship. Both are very wishful thinking. You have your hopes set on these things. Maybe it's stuff more serious. Maybe you hope your loved one gets healed. You hope the cancer goes away. You hope that this relationship won't end. You hope, you know, whatever. But it's surrounded with doubt, surrounded with uncertainty. But listen to me. The Bible's definition of hope is not uncertain. It's not wishful thinking. It's not surrounded with doubt. The Bible's definition of hope is a confident expectation based on the promises of God. That was good, so I'm going to say it again. The Bible's definition of hope, real hope, true hope, is a confident expectation based on the promises of God. It's not that we hope that Jesus will come. It's that we know Jesus will come. It's not that we hope his word will be true. It's that we know. It's attached to faith, not doubt. It's that we know his word is truth. We place our faith, our trust in our Savior as our true hope. Listen, the certainty of your hope depends on the source of your hope. The certainty of your hope depends on the source of your hope. And the hope of your heart is only as certain as what your heart places its hope in. What is your hope this morning? God says, I am the God of hope that will fill you with peace and comfort. His promises are not just something that are wishful thinking. They are all yes and amen. His word is a sure, stable foundation for a shaky world. His promises are true. We can rest upon this hope. God is our source of hope. If you place your hope on anything but Christ, it will let you down. If you place your hope anything but Christ, it will let you down. He is the only sure, stable, secure hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I like the old song, in Christ alone, my what? Hope is found. He is my rock, my strength, my song. All other ground is sinking sand, right? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He is our anchor, our foundation, our stable ground, because his words, his nature, his attributes, he is true. He is faithful. The certainty of hope. And I want you to notice the search for true hope. The certainty of true hope, the search for true hope. We live in a world that's searching for hope. That's in desperate need of hope. People are longing for hope in a hurting, hopeless world. People look all over this world for something they can place their hope in, and it all leads them empty. And I think about when this story, you know, the coming of Jesus. The nation of Israel were waiting for their hope. Remember, it was prophesied hundreds of years, 700 years before Jesus came. It was prophesied. But that's a very long time, ain't it? In between your Old and New Testament is a span of 400 years that we call the 400 years of darkness. There was no prophetic word. There was no prophets. There was no inspired writing. It's like the heavens shut up. It was darkness. It was immorality. It was hopeless. It looked hopeless. And the people probably felt that God lied to them, that God abandoned them, that God forsaken. 400 years. Think about that. That'd be like from 1600 to 2000. That's a very long time to be waiting on some hope, ain't it? But just like God promised, on that Christmas season, Gabriel came before Joseph. He came before Mary. He came before the shepherd. And the bright light of hope shined in the darkness. God is faithful to his promises, even if his promises take a while. His time is not our time. And it's in the darkness, it's in the darkest times that hope shines the brightest. The darker the night, the brighter the light of hope will shine. They waited 400 years. But listen, maybe you're in a season of waiting right now. God's silence is not God's absence. Just because you don't see him, you don't hear him, you don't feel him, you don't see the promises happening, doesn't mean he is not there. And I want to tell you this morning that God is faithful even in the darkness. He's faithful even in the silence. He's faithful even in the waiting. His promises are true, and you can place your hope in him. People are all searching for hope. This world is desperate and desperately searching for hope, and there's a lot of false hope out there. If you place your hope in your money, you may lose it. You place your hope in your 401k, your savings, it may dwindle. Can somebody say amen right there? You place your faith and your hope in the economy, it may crash. In the stock market, who knows what will happen. You place your hope and your faith in people, they will fail you. You place your hope in your spouse and they may turn their back on you and hurt you. You place your faith in your children, they may desert you. You place your faith and your hope in your own goodness and it's not good enough. You place your faith, you place your hope in your feelings and they're flimsy. God is the only thing, only hope in this world that we can rest assured that he will not fail. His nature, his promises, his spirit, his attributes, his character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. He is the hope for your heart. And then number three. And I'll close, the benefits of true hope. The benefits of true hope. I want to give you three benefits of true hope, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. Hope heals, hope fills, and hope reveals. What do I mean by that? Hope heals. Maybe you're here today, and you have a heart broken. You're heartbroken, you're crushed, you're wounded, you're hurt. Somebody has done you wrong, something bad has happened in your life, and you're full of sorrow. Maybe you're full of anger, full of bitterness, full of suffering. You're struggling. Your heart is crushed under the weight of the circumstances that you're dealing with. Hope heals your broken heart. The promises of God's word is like a remedy to the sick. It's healing to the ones that are hurting. He takes broken things and puts it back together. Hope heals your broken heart. Hope not only heals, but hope fills. Now, I know Christmas season can be especially hard because there's a void in your heart where a loved one used to be. Yes. You experience parties this year that are different this year from the way they used to be. And you're suffering with the emptiness and the void and the pain and the agony and the sorrow and the suffering in your heart. There's a void. There's that empty feeling, that hole in your soul, in your heart. But I got good news for you this morning. Hope heals and hope fills the emptiness in your heart. God is a God that does not leave you empty, but he fills you up, overflows you with joy and peace and comfort and blessings. I came here this morning knowing that this message is for the broken. You're hurting. You're hopeless. Hope fills the emptiness in your heart. When you look at the promises of God, he says, I have never left you. I have never forsaken you. People may have turned on you. You may have lost loved ones from death, but I am there and I will comfort and I will heal your broken heart and I will fill you with the comfort and peace with my presence. Hope heals, and then hope reveals. Reveals what? It reveals that, oh, listen, I like this. It reveals that there is a better future. Hope reveals that where you are right now is not where you're going to be forever. Ain't that good news in the church this morning? It reveals that there is a better future, that God has a plan and a purpose. And look, you can endure anything as long as you have some hope to look forward to. Jesus came to save their people from their sins, but we're still suffering in the here and now. But there is a better day ahead where he will make all things new. He is the hope for humanity. He is the hope for your hearts. And as long as you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to keep pressing forward and to not give up. Somebody once said hope, H-O-P-E, hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. You can go through anything in life as long as you know there's a better day coming. You can weather the storms as long as you know there's a time where the storms will cease. You can go through the valley as long as you know there's a mountain on the way. You can go through the darkness of this life as long as you know that Jesus has a better future. And that's what he's promised us through his death, through his life, through his resurrection. He's promised us a better future. He's promised us eternal life. He's promised us a home in heaven. That is our hope. And even though we lose loved ones along the way, Paul, I like how Paul says it. He says, we don't sorrow as those with no hope. He says, if we only have hope in this life only, we are people most miserable. But we have the hope in the resurrection that one day we will live and be with Jesus forever. Is this helping anybody this morning? There are better days. The Bible says weeping will be for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We have a song of invitation. This morning, I wonder, what are you putting your hope in? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Do you have the hope of heaven? Do you have the confidence and the assurity and the security? Not wishful thinking. Is it a confident, earnest expectation? Is it something you have your faith in, your hope in? Are you experiencing the overflowing joy and peace of having Jesus as your hope? Jesus did not come to this world for you to live an empty void, heartbroken, defeated life. The angel that announced to Joseph that day, this Savior, Jesus meaning what? God is salvation. He's come to heal. Heal you of your sin problem. Heal you from the sorrow you feel. Heal you from the brokenness. Heal you from your past. He's come to heal. He's come to save. He's come to deliver. He's come to rescue. And if you have experienced this hope, we have an obligation to share this hope with others. Peter said, always be ready to give every man an answer for the reason of your hope. I think about people in the Bible that had lost all hope. I think about that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who had been through husband after husband, who was broken. People looked down on her. People judged her. People condemned her. She felt like an outcast. She felt like nobody cared about her. Nobody loved her. They talked about her. They gossiped about her. They slandered her. Her reputation was bad. Everything was broken in her life. She had broken relationship after broken relationship. But then she met her hope at the well that day, and he changed her life. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. I believe the Bible says she suffered with this illness for 7 years. Put all of her hope in doctors and medicines, and everything left her empty and void, and nothing fixed her. Her one last hope was, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Whew, man. If I could just get to Jesus, he would change my life. And she looked at the Savior. She reached out and grabbed him. And he looked at her. And she was looking in the eyes of her hope. And it changed her life. Set her free. I think about the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, when people would step over him and they would overlook him, and nobody would help him. Jesus says, why are you laying here? And he says, well, nobody will help me. Nobody will put me in the water. Jesus, looking at him and him looking at Jesus, he said, do you want to be healed? And the man looked at his true hope, and his hope, Jesus, changed his life. Are we getting anywhere? Is this impacting anybody here? I think about the thief on the cross. Oh my goodness, what an example of hope. Someone who had lost all hope. He was on death row. He was hanging on a cross next to Jesus. The life he lived, he could not fix the bad things he did. Everything in his life had led him to that point. He was a murderer and he was a thief. And he had lost all hope until he turned his head. And he looked at the Savior hanging on the cross, bloodied and beaten and barely recognizable as a man. He looked at Jesus, and through the blood and through the tears and through the pain and through the agony, he looked at Jesus and he said, that is my last hope. And he came to the right place. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, picture the scene. Jesus, in his last dying hours, looked at the thief, said, today you will be with me in paradise. I come here this morning with a message of hope. The same hope that the thief had, the same hope that the woman with the issue of blood, the same hope the Samaritan woman, the same hope that people in the Bible, you have the same hope available to you today. And it's not found in this world. It's not found in your wallet. It's not found in your bank account. It's not found in your goodness. It's not found in your righteousness. It's not found in your past. It's not found in your future. Your hope is found in Christ alone. And if you have not experienced a relationship with Jesus, I want to take some time this morning, and let's all stand. And I want you to, if you're able to this morning, stand. And I want you to Bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want you to pray. And all of those things that you're holding on to, all of the false hope that's left you empty, all of the burdens that you've been carrying, I want you to come to Jesus, because he's the one that is your true hope. And he says, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you eternal life. I will give you what you've desperately been searching and seeking for. As we spend some time this morning in prayer, if you need prayer, maybe you don't know if you have a relationship with God. Maybe you don't know. Maybe it's all been just an experience, religion. Maybe you've never truly placed your faith in Christ. I'm here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with. If you'd like someone to talk to after service, I'll be here till everyone leaves. Because that is the greatest thing in your life, is to know that you have the hope of Christ. Father, we love you. Jesus, we thank you that we're not resting in a false hope, but we're resting in the faithful Savior who came to deliver, to save, to rescue us from our own sinful condition, to rescue us from the penalty and the power of sin. God, I pray if there's someone here that's lost, that doesn't truly have that hope in their heart, God, I pray you would work in their heart and open their eyes, point them to the cross, point them to Christ. God, if there's someone here that knows they're a Christian, but they're just going through a tough, hard time this season especially, God, I pray that you would let them rest in your promises. Rest in the promise that Isaiah said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God, I pray you would help people today, these people here today, find the true hope in Christ. And it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.